Parental advisory warning. Carlosophies, provoking thought and liberating people from their own bullshit since 2015. First time here? Hit subscribe. You'll want to stick around.
Oh, quite windy down here today. And I'm feeling very in my head at the moment. So no idea if this is going to make any sense. Lately, I have been, my latest obsession has been understanding cult dynamics. And I've been reading a lot of books on cult dynamics, on cognitive dissonance, just, you know, exploring. I've recently devoured all of The Vow. I've always been fascinated by cults, and you know, and I had a massive conversation with Miko at the weekend. We watched Seduced, which is like one of the women who features in The Vow. It's kind of her story, and it's shocking. And I was talking to Miko about it, and he's like, well, what are these people doing? Like, why are they letting him do all this stuff? You know, and I, having read a lot about cult dynamics, and actually I think in my very early 20s, I was in an abusive relationship. And so I understand how manipulation works, how psychological manipulation works, and how someone who is strong, intelligent, like myself, I would consider myself both of those things, can find themselves knowing on the inside, deep down, that something isn't right, but hiding that from the world to protect someone. And really, the person I was protecting was myself, but also my abuser. And so I kind of, you know, my husband was always like, I don't understand how one man could have that much power over you, when maybe when he couldn't. But you know, in The Vow, Mark Vicente says nobody joins a cult, and I fundamentally believe that to be true, right? Like, nobody joins a cult. People, you know, you're eased into it. It's a slow manipulation, and I think I've been attracted to exploring cult dynamics more because I see them play out in the business space. Actually, I see tools that I used in sales when I was in sales. I did a lot of training around this psychological selling, a lot of stuff around NLP, body language, you know, seeding, all the things that are used to manipulate people into a purchase. And actually, you know what? I was a really fucking good salesperson. I've worked in a store. I won't go into details of it, but they really prided themselves. In fact, oh my God. So it was kind of like a cult in itself. Oh my God. So when I went to my interview for this particular position, it was a very prestigious company, and it was that's how they positioned themselves, as like the most prestigious in the industry. And so I went along, I got an interview for a position, and I went along to the interview, and it was my birthday. It's actually on my birthday. I think it was my 21st birthday, actually. And And I'm quite sure I had told the general manager who was interviewing me that it was my birthday and my friend had dropped me off and we were going to go and see Rent later on and have dinner. And so during that interview, the interview went for three and a half hours, right? And my poor friend who had bought me tickets to Rent had no fucking idea what was going on, right? She was waiting for me in Melbourne. We lived an hour out. You know, she didn't have anywhere to go. She was just kind of driving around waiting for me. And this person, it was almost like now I can see they were testing me. They were like, that interview was a test. Could I be a good subject? Could I toe the line? Would I question what was happening or not? Would I put him and the company above my friends and family? And I was a very compliant girl. I mean, at this time, I was also in an abusive relationship. I had just had pneumonia, and that led into me having glandular fever. Actually, the other way around. I'd had glandular fever as part of being in this relationship, really, I feel like. And then it developed into pneumonia. And this was around the time where I came in to the company. And, you know, my boundaries were being pushed and tested at that point. And, you know, it was actually a really, and then all the sales training. There was so much training. And it was all based in NLP. You know, this particular general manager, I think he had like a master's in psychology or something. So he, or human behavior or something like that. Anyway, it was very clear the guy knew how to play people. And it was a very toxic work environment. We had our own language. You know, it was very exclusive, and leaving the company was like it was like you ceased to exist when you did. It was like a cult. Fascinating. So I've always been fascinated by it, maybe because there has been elements where I've just unknowingly found myself in toxic environments. And part of it has been my unwillingness to question authority sometimes, which seems so, I think this is why I've worked for myself for so long, because a lot of the work environments that I worked in were very toxic and cult-like. And, so I've worked for myself I had a few toxic jobs, and then I left the workplace when I was 26, pretty much never to return. And maybe I would, if it was the right kind of environment. I'm not saying that I'm opposed to having a job, I'm not, but, you know, when you've had a few really toxic workplaces, it does make you wary. And I think that's where my skepticism comes from. Why I am not quick to buy into things. I have a really good nose, and I think because of the fact that I put myself in situations where I haven't honored the gut feels that something was off, that now I'm acutely aware of it. And so this is why I speak so much about gaslighting in the coaching industry, and, you know, like being careful about who you work with, because I know, and I feel like I'd love to do a podcast sharing, you know, like what how to recognize when you're being manipulated into something. I feel like there's something in that. Anyway, it's interesting because at the moment, what I'm witnessing out in the world at large are a lot of cult dynamics at play. This whole Trump light worker, you know, just very thinly veiled racist QAnon soft Q bullshit about, you know, like Hillary Clinton eating babies, and I mean the cabal, it's offensive and racist. You know, I'm seeing all this stuff out there and at the same time recognizing how I've been complicit in my own kind of cult, in terms of up until very recently, you know, I had swallowed the spiritual pill, I guess. Not fully, because I still have had, my questioning is still intact, but I have been silencing myself a lot and becoming a little more complicit and not really speaking my truth, because I feel like I kind of was in a cult called spirituality. And so right now I'm really in a place where I've been struggling a lot with my own spirituality, because I can see how damaging it has been to people. You know, how my spiritual beliefs and my spiritual rhetoric really speaks to my white fragility, my able-bodiedness. I can see how the beliefs that I've had have perpetuated perpetrator. I have been almost like a perpetrator in some ways based on my beliefs. And so I've really, I guess in the last little while, you've probably heard, been struggling with some of the things that I had come to believe about. And so I've been in this, like, this is true and this is true, and I'm not really sure what is true anymore. And it's, you know, I think this is where the cognitive dissonance piece comes in, because nobody wants to see themselves as a perpetrator. Nobody wants to see themselves as harming others, because, like, I have a heart of gold. I mean, I have so much of my life I have tried to protect other people. I would never intentionally hurt anyone. So there is this cognitive dissonance when what I've been doing is trying to help people and realizing or coming to start to understand that some of that stuff has been damaging. It's really hard to integrate with the me who knows that I'm a good and decent human being. So yeah, it's been really big times for me. And living where I do, which is like a spiritual mecca, surrounded by spiritual friends, I've been struggling. I've been struggling a lot, actually, in that, and maybe distancing myself a little. Yeah, it's been hard. So yeah, this is kind of where I'm at. And I'm starting to learn that I need to start setting some clear boundaries and not being afraid to share what I'm witnessing and what is not okay with me, regardless of whether I'm going to potentially upset someone who has a great deal of fucking privilege, you know? Like, yeah, that's a really hard thing for me, is that protecting other people's fragility over speaking up as to what is actually right and good. And I don't necessarily want to put, like, that's tricky language. But I'm struggling to find language around this. You know, I don't want to be necessarily anymore protecting privileged people from their feelings while being the perpetrator against people who need, it's not need protection, because they don't. Everyone is capable. You know, I guess it's not protecting, it's just stopping harmful behavior, harmful ideologies, harmful beliefs. So yeah, this is where I'm at. And yeah, watching the Vow and Keith Raniere and seeing what's playing out in the world at the moment, it's very similar, which is cause for great concern. When we start swallowing a particular narrative, one that is harmful, and we're unwilling to look or when we're, you know, it's really hard, because I feel like part of this is we see the other side as evil. And I'm not necessarily seeing the other side as evil here, because what I'm witnessing is a whole bunch of collective trauma, not a lot of executive functioning going on, people really grasping to anything that makes sense to them. And I have the deepest of compassion for that. But also, I will not tolerate the bullshit. I will not tolerate a narrative that is harmful to underprivileged people. I saw a post that somebody posted. Actually, I've seen a few people post it. And it was about how, you know, in this time of Trump and Biden and Black Lives Matter and COVID, you know, I will be a kind person. I will open doors for people. I will talk to babies. I will, you know, like, basically, I'm a good person. And I looked at it and it made me incredibly angry, actually. Because in these times of Trump and Biden and COVID and Black Lives Matter, it's not about being kind and opening doors for other people. It's about fucking making sure that we all have our on an equal playing field. It's a time not to be kind, but to use our power. You know, we all want to be the good guy. And I've found myself in this place where I've wanted to be the good guy. I've wanted to be the person that people could come to, regardless of what side of the fence they were on. But I don't want to be that person anymore. I don't want to be the good guy. I want to be the guy who stands up, not guy, I want to be the human who stands up for what is right. Who stands for justice. And that's going to rattle some cages. And I've got to be okay with that. Because if I'm not, it's just more fucking fragile ego shit. So yeah, that's where I'm at. I guess if there's anything for you to ponder, it's where are you protecting yourself? You know, are there areas in your life where there are dangerous dynamics at play and you're being complicit in your silence of these? All right, that's it from me. Just a light and joyful episode, really. Until next week, peace out.
Want more me in your life? Head to carlinimmo.com or find me on Instagram at carlosofies. But honestly, the best thing you can do is tell a friend about this podcast. Until next week, peace out.